In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, a lengthy reading from the Gospel of John. But this one actually is a little too short. I know you may find that hard to believe. It probably should have gone on another couple of verses, because the writer of John points out that this was the incident that finally set the agenda for the Sanhedrin. This is what pushed them over the edge, and they decided that Jesus had to go. This sets up Holy Week, the crucifixion. And John's gospel, what finally pushed them over the edge and decided that he needed to die for the sake of the nation, was this. If he can raise someone from the dead, everyone will follow him. And then Rome will get really upset, and they'll attack us, and we'll be done with. So Jesus had to go. So it's altogether appropriate that here this last Sunday before we start Holy Week and Palm Sunday, that this is our reading. This is the last public event, basically, before the triumphal entry. Here Jesus does the greatest thing that he does in John's gospel before the resurrection. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And it contains all those motifs that are in John: darkness and light. We walk during the light during the day, but at night we stumble. It contains the misunderstanding of words. I go to wake up our friend Lazarus. And I thought, well, you know, if he's just asleep, no big deal. And he had to explain, no, he's dead, but we're going to do something incredible. And he's disturbed here. One thing that John's gospel does is unvarnished, gives us unvarnished truth. Jesus wept. Those of you who grew up with the King James Version of the Bible and had to memorize Bible verses, I'm sure that was one of them, the shortest one. Jesus wept. The New Revised Standard Version, Jesus began to weep, which is much longer. But he did weep. He wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Even though he came there knowing he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, there was not a doubt in his mind that God would hear his prayer and raise Lazarus. But he saw what effect Lazarus' death had on his sisters, on his family. From the readings, we can kind of get a picture of what had happened here. In that time, in that culture, if a woman didn't have some relative who was male, they were at a loss. And as long as Lazarus was alive and was the ostensible head of the family, then Mary and Martha could go on as they had. But now he's gone. They've lost all their societal support. And all those people who came out to weep with them very soon would probably abandon them. This was a major crisis in their family. Not just the loss of a sibling, but a loss of identity in the community. This was a big deal. And Jesus sees what effect this has on them and has compassion in his heart. Even though he knows it's going to turn out all right, he understands that in that moment, they grieve. And even though Martha gives the assurance that she knows in the last day he will be raised, I believe in the resurrection, still she weeps. Any of us who've been to funerals of a loved one, of a friend, I mean, I preach that. I preach we'll see them again, we'll be raised again. And it is comforting, but in the moment, not so much. We know that. Intellectually, in the brain, in our minds, we know there is a resurrection. We believe in life eternal, but at that time, at that moment, it's still awful. It's still terrible. We still grieve. And as we have in our rubrics, grief is not unchristian. We know we're going to miss that person. Not even as much as Mary and Martha would, because they're going to be missing their whole identity in the community because of the death of their brother. So Jesus knows what we go through. Jesus weeps with us. Jesus has compassion for us. Even though he knows better than anyone that it all turns out in the end, he still understands our grief. And then he goes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. He'd been in the grave 4 days. They hadn't heard anyone scratching at the wall, so he was dead. There was no coming back from it. But Christ says, Lord, I know you always hear me. And I say that not even because you need to hear it now, but so these others will know that it's you who sent me. Everything Christ does points back to the Father, points us to the Father. And he calls out, "Lazarus, come forth." And I cannot imagine the reaction of the crowd. I'm sure at first they thought he was a bit crazy talking to the dead guy. But then they hear movement within the cave. And he walks out. I would be terrified. I've seen enough zombie movies to know this is not a good place to be. Of course, Jesus was there. I'd probably feel a little comforted. And he tells them, unbind him. Notice that Jesus and God start the process, but the people finish it. The people continue the work that's been done. They have to unbind Lazarus. And so it's altogether fitting that here, as we head into Holy Week next week and the crucifixion and the celebration of the resurrection, that we talk about resurrection. Resurrection wasn't something new with Christ. People believed in the resurrection. All the various factions within Judaism believed in a life after death and a resurrection, except for the Sadducees. They thought when you died, you were done, but they were not a happy bunch. They were grumpy. But they believed in a resurrection. The difference between Lazarus and Jesus is that while Lazarus was raised from the dead, eventually he lived out the course of his life. He too died for a final time. Of the several people in Scripture who were raised from the dead, after a period, they all died again, but not Christ. And that's the difference. Christ was not just resuscitated. Christ was not just brought back from the dead. Christ experienced resurrection, which is different from what Lazarus did, or the widow of Nain's son, or all the others in Scripture we read about. He was resurrected to new life, the firstborn of all creation. God did with Jesus Christ in the midst of time what God promises to do with all of us at the end of time, to be raised to new life. Our Wednesday night sequence has been talking about end-of-life issues, and we started off talking about the theology of death. And I talked about the fact that, according to N.T. Wright, and I wholeheartedly agree, we miss the point sometimes. If we look at heaven as being the final destination, in Scripture, it quite clearly teaches that heaven is where we wait for the final thing. We wait for the resurrection. We wait for the new heaven and the new earth, for the new life in God and Christ. In the Creed, we don't say we look for the going to heaven and spending eternity sitting on a cloud strumming a harp, which was never that enticing anyway when I was a child. You weren't sweetening the deal any. But it says that we look for the resurrection of the dead, for the life to come. We are going to experience resurrection. And there are not human words to describe it. The closest we can come is to try to describe a circumstance that when Christ was raised from the dead, he was both the same and different. He still had the nail holes in his hand, the spear mark in his side. There was continuity with who he was before. But he was also different. He could appear in locked rooms. He could hide his identity from those around him, from the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Even Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him in the garden, according to John's gospel. So there's continuity and there's difference. We will be the people we are, but glorious. No longer having to worry about how we get out of the bed so we don't fall down and hurt ourselves in the morning. No longer worrying about having the closed captioning on the TV because we can't catch all the words. No longer worrying about the aches and pains and everything else that goes with life. Never again will we weep. For Scripture promises that God Himself wipes away every tear. That's why we gather every Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection. The joy that we should feel in knowing that Christ has triumphed over death and brought us into that victory, that we share in the resurrection. But no matter what happens in this life, in this veil of tears, that in the end we are raised anew with Christ, joining with our Lord and Savior in eternity. And not just strumming harps and sitting on clouds, but living the life eternal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.